Welcome to the Movie Film Show, featuring the insightful reviews of Mr. Film and Mr. Movie. This week we review Bridesmaids and The Beaver. And now here are Mr. Movie and Mr. Film.
Hello, I'm Mr. Movie.
And I'm Mr. Film. Now, continuing the bridal theme that started last week, we have Bridesmaids, the latest from the Apatow gang, featuring, you guessed it, a bunch of women behaving badly.
I'm engaged.
Oh my God!
He asked me last night.
What is happening?
What are we doing for the bachelorette party?
What about like a princess theme?
Versace meets the gold rush.
I'm thinking tanned gentlemen that swallow fire and wear sarongs.
Female fight club. We grease up.
Surprise! Beat the crap out of her.
I don't hate it.
Vegas it is.
Annie, played by Kristen Wiig, who also co-wrote the script, has just about hit bottom. Her cupcake business has failed. Her roommates are bizarre English siblings. And she's involved in a sort of friends with benefits kind of relationship with a cad played by an uncredited John Hamm. The only thing she has going for her is best friend Lillian, played by real-life best friend Maya Rudolph. But even that gets thrown into jeopardy when Lillian announces that she's getting married and moving away. And to add insult to injury, wants Annie to be her maid of honor, which will involve all sorts of expensive investments in clothes, trips, and gifts that Annie, who's essentially out of work, can't afford. But things get even worse when Annie meets the other bridesmaids, including Lillian's wannabe BFF, Helen, played by Rose Byrne. Mayhem, of course, ensues until she meets a kind-hearted sheriff's deputy, played by Chris O'Dowd, who might just be her knight in shining armor, or at least the good guy that will help her find a direction in life. Now, Bridesmaids is a pretty much straight-up Apatow-esque comedy. If you've seen 40-Year-Old Virgin or A Virgin or any of his Knocked Up, you kind of get the idea of what universe we're living in here. There's lots of weird, uncomfortable situations, a couple of gross-out scenes, and including a pretty intense one at an upscale bridal shop. A few laughs and a lot of heart at the end when everything gets worked out. I was surprised that there wasn't as much gross out stuff as I expected. And the story is just unpredictable enough, just enough to a planned bachelorette trip to Vegas doesn't quite work out the way you might think, that it kept me engaged up to a point. While I bought the hijinks and the conflict between Annie and Helen, the one thing I didn't buy is how willing all of these supposedly mature women would be to go through with all of the rites and rituals surrounding a modern American wedding. These aren't 18-year-old kids. These are career women who are smart, intelligent, you know, have some go get them. Even Annie, who's kind of on a tailspin, you get a sense that, you know, she's got some brains behind her. I just didn't buy that Annie would sink so low and that Lillian would be so oblivious to her friend's troubles and Helen would be so desperate to seek Lillian, who was obviously out of her social and economic class, as a friend. As with last show's Something Borrowed, it was one of the handful of male characters, the deputy played by Chris O'Dowd, who made the film really shine for me. O'Dowd isn't well known here, but he plays a computer geek in the hilarious and popular British sitcom The IT Crowd, which is available on streaming. And I say check that out if you're like me and thought he did a good job here. He's terrific there. It's a funny, weird, strange, surreal show, and you can have a lot of fun with that. His scenes with Wiig are great, and if there is a sequel, I hope that it jettisons the bridal theme and just focuses on their relationship. I also want to point out that Wiig is quite good here as well. We've seen her in a couple of flicks in the last 6 months, including the recent Paul, and she's been impressive. I think this is another win for her as a comic actress, but it's still not quite the part that's going to hit it out of the park for her and propel her into the super stratosphere. But I can't wait to see what that's going to be, because I think it'll be good. Perhaps the strangest part of the R-rated film from Universal is how insignificant that the men, including Rudolph's fiancée, is to the proceedings. In this comic universe, men have virtually no role other than to allow women to get married and be bridesmaids. That's fine, since I think it would have been easy to have the men just step in at some point, put a stop to all the insanity. And it allowed some nice heartfelt moments about female friendship. Though the whole thing gets ends on a kind of rather bizarre musical note that seemed a bit self-indulgent. But maybe that's just me. I didn't really love this film, but it was just amusing enough. I'm going to give it a C+ for effort.
All right, Mr. Film, I think we're pretty much in agreement on this movie. I think I liked it maybe a titch bit more than you did, although, as we've talked about a lot on the show previously, the gross-out humor in this is needless and I think really only takes away from the charm that really exists here.
Yeah, there is a lot there.
Yeah, and you know, as you mentioned, this is your typical Judd Apatow picture. Crude humor with real characters, although a little fantastic at times. But it all comes together in a feel-good end with some actual substance. And I also agree about Chris O'Dowd's character. Wiggs and his relationship was really the soul of this movie for me. And the scenes where Wig is trying to win his heart back after screwing up the relationship is where you really start to root for this Annie character. And
yeah.
And they're pretty funny, too. In one scene, she's driving her beat-up Toyota past the cop. He plays the cop, breaking all kinds of laws, speeding, littering, you name it, trying to get his attention. And, of course, he's a cop, and it's previously established that he's this kind of by-the-books guy. And seeing him try to hold back while watching all these moving violations is worthy of a few good belly laughs.
Yeah.
And again, as you mentioned, Kristen Wiig really shines in her role, and I hope she does more substantive work in the future. We've talked about this before, Mr. Film, and I think, you know, a serious drama or, you know, a more serious romantic comedy, I think, would suit her really well. And I hope she chooses roles in the future that lose the puke all over yourself scenes that aim for nothing but cheap laughs.
Yeah.
And while I agree that the hijinks between the women was unbelievable and a bit hard to swallow at times, Apatow has a way of wrapping things up that makes you forgive all that and ultimately feel good about watching a pretty raunchy movie, which, you know, I never thought that I would, you know, be in a position of even saying that. But Apatow somehow, you know, even pulls that off to some degree. So it's kind of a strange feat to be able to do that. And you definitely see the Apatow touch at play here. So, Mr. Film, I'm with you. I didn't love the picture either. But Wig and O'Dowd as the love interest and their whole side story did win me over in the end. So while I sympathize with your C+, I'm going to bring it up just a notch and give Bridesmaids a B-.
All right. Yeah, I think you made some great points there as well. I think you're right with the gross-out humor, and I think that what's nice that Wig co-wrote the script here, so she knows she's kind of taking a little bit of control of her career and such. Obviously, she was hired by the Apatow crowd to write this piece, so she had to, you know, fit it into their comic sensibilities. But I think it was a good picture overall. I actually liked the whole – I don't want to give anything away because there's some kind of funny stuff that happens there. I did like the whole Vegas trip from hell part of it because it works out a little bit differently than the way you think it's going to. I think that there are a couple of plot points that are introduced in that scene, for instance, that aren't followed through, and I wonder if those ended up on the cutting room floor and if those will be in deleted scenes on the DVD. But
and it's not like the trailer suggests. I mean, the trailer makes this movie almost look like a hangover for women.
And it's not
really that at all. So that was kind of a relief actually going in to see this, because I was kind of expecting, oh, this is just going to try to be a ripoff of the Hangover, you know, for the girls or something, and it really wasn't. So that was good.
Yeah, and that's I had the exact same thought as well. So this is a good picture. I say that if you have a choice between Something Borrowed and Bridesmaids, go see Bridesmaids. I think you'll at least have a much better time, and I think the romance is a lot better and it's a lot more believable as well.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on that. It's a hard call. It kind of depends what kind of mood you're in, I think, but overall, I'd have to say Bridesmaids is better.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
All right. Mr. Film, up next we have Mel Gibson's return to the screen in an attempt to redeem his career in The Beaver.
Oh, boy.
The question is, can he pull it off in this somber and depressing tale directed by and co-starring Jodie Foster and released by Summit Entertainment?
This is the story of Walter Black, a hopelessly depressed individual. The successful and loving family man he used to be has gone missing. And no matter what he's tried, Walter can't seem to bring him back. But he's about to find his voice.
The person who handed you this card is under the care of a prescription puppet designed to help create a psychological distance between himself and the negative aspects of his personality.
This is a joke, right?
No, son. It's a fresh start.
When I was a little kid, all I ever wanted was to be like you. Then I got older, I just wanted to be anybody else.
I know. So I swear.
In this, Mel Gibson plays Walter, as indicated by the trailer, a man on the brink of divorce with his wife, played by Jodie Foster, as well as the CEO of a failing toy factory. He seemingly can't deal with reality anymore, and after a failed suicide attempt, he finds solace in wearing a puppet beaver and interacting with those around him through this puppet. Now, I'm sure Jim Henson would be horrified to find puppets being used as some catharsis for depression in the manner shown here. And the PG-13 movie itself is extremely dark, pretty disturbing, and downright depressing. Themes of depression are hard to pull off in a motion picture, so I have to give it credit for trying. But make no mistake, this is no Ordinary People, for example, which, by the way, everyone should see and is a fantastic, fantastic movie. The Beaver is most interesting when it focuses on its subplot. Anton Yelchin, I think that's how you say his name, plays Porter, the son of Gibson, who struggles with his own similarities with his father because he wants to be nothing like him. Yet despite himself, and no matter how hard he tries to avoid it, his list of similarities, which is represented in post-it notes stuck to his bedroom wall, one for each similarity, continues to grow. Will he turn out to be like his father? Or can he steer himself in the right direction? Porter's story is, I think, what really saves the movie. He's an intelligent high school kid who sells his writing talents to failing students by writing papers for them for money. He soon gets mixed up with the school's valedictorian, Nora, played by Jennifer Lawrence, from Winter's Bone fame, and finds out there's more to this girl's past and character that meets the eye. A young romance ensues, and we really do care about these characters. But I have to say, the whole Gibson as a depressed, washed-up husband and CEO is kind of embarrassing, given his recent real-life shenanigans. And while The Beaver's catharsis is silly at first, the whole story takes a turn that is difficult to stomach and downright psychotic. It certainly doesn't paint Gibson in a good light, and the movie's theme, rather than one of redemption, goes pretty dark, saying basically that life is miserable, but well, you don't have to be alone. Those who love movies because they lift us up and show us what man can be and ought to be will be let down by this movie. And while depression is an element of life that's worth examining, I don't think the misery loves company themes ultimately helps anyone. At worst, the picture is trying to say that we're all miserable in some way, and our best bet is to find a depression buddy, whether it be a girlfriend or a puppet, take your pick, and take solace in the fact that we're not alone. Personally, I find it hard to be sympathetic to that giving up on life mentality, and ultimately, I found The Beaver to be a disappointment. That's not to say it's not well made and doesn't have interesting characters. It does. I just wish that they had found some redemption other than what amounts to an argument from numbers, more or less. So, because I enjoyed thinking about what was wrong with this 90-minute movie, and because I like the subplots and the characters were pretty well portrayed, and I like thinking about what this movie could have been, I'm going to give this a B-.
All right, Mr. Movie. I totally agree with you on this one. The Beaver is probably the strangest film I've seen in a long time. And you know I like strange. But this just left me scratching my head.
Marwyn Call, anybody?
Marwyn Call is a great example. What was the point of this exercise? What were we supposed to take away from Walter's problems? I think the biggest problem about the picture was its tone. Was it supposed to be an edgy drama, a satire, a dark comedy? And it had a little bit of those elements throughout. So as it was moving into those, I thought, oh, here we go. But it never really paid off in any of those, at least for the Gibson's character. And like you, I like the subplot with the son, but it felt like we were watching parallel films about the same subject. Like they took two different films and just spliced them together.
Yeah.
One, a teen drama about, you know, some interesting interesting issues. The other, an edgy, dark dramedy that was just psychotic, as you so aptly put it. So I really don't know what to make of this picture. I didn't hate it, but I really didn't like it either.
Yeah.
And the ending event, as you pointed out, is just twisted. And not in a really good way. I mean, it is twisted. It is dark. I don't know how this thing got a PG-13.
Yeah.
I think I know, but you know, I don't want to give anything away for the four people who might be interested in seeing this. But it's pretty dark stuff. But what is there to like? The directing by Foster is assured. The acting, including Gibson's, is pretty good. And all the other technical elements in the picture are professional and uniformly excellent. I just wish that the beaver nonsense was the secondary plot and the teen stuff was the main thrust of the picture. Now, I give the beaver a miss in the theater, and I think most people are.
Yeah.
But I'd say check it out on DVD or pay-per-view, you know, just out of curiosity's sake. I think it might play a little bit better on a smaller screen and maybe with a drink in your hand. So I'm giving the beaver a woodchucking B minus.
A drink in your hand and a noose around your neck.
Yeah, or shower curtain. So this is pretty psychotic stuff. So
go ahead.
No, I think it's too bad because Jodie Foster, she's a good director. She usually picks really good material. She's been picking good material since she was a kid. And Gibson, you know, usually even when he's, you know, melting down in real life, he's usually doing at least interesting or entertaining pictures. This was a misfire all the way around in terms of the
subject. Well, it seemed like maybe he was trying to make up for that with this movie. And I don't think it works. I think he's probably best career-wise to just ignore all of that and make the kind of movies that he used to, if that's going to work at all. But, you know, I don't think this really helps him much. And it's kind of embarrassing at times if you know his, you know, that all that backstory going in and watching it. So
Yeah. And the whole beaver thing that never really pays off. I mean, they just kind of use it as this weird device, and it never really – it really pays off in any sort of way. I mean, there's the psychotic ending. And again, I don't want to give anything away, but there's a psychotic climax to that whole thing. And I mean, I've seen that kind of stuff before, and it's like, man, this was actually a little edgier and those were R-rated, pretty dark R-rated films, and this was even edgier for a PG-13 film. This is dark territory. Yeah. So,
but you know, there's no swearing, there's no nudity, there's no gore. So
no.
I can see how the MPA maybe was hard pressed to give it an R rating just for thematic, you know, just for thematic reasons. But yeah, this is not for young kids for sure.
No. And if you know, or a casual film goer or anything of that sort, you have to really, you know, you have to really get really enjoy going to see dark catharsis, because that's the only that is the audience for this picture, without a doubt. So,
all right. Well, I think that's enough about the beaver.
I think so.
All right. Well, Mr. Film, next show, I think we're going to take a look at Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides in 3D.
All right.
Which was actually shot in 3D, so that will be interesting to see how that all pans out.
Absolutely.
And then we'll also check out Everything Must Go. Visit our website at www.moviefilmshow.com. If you have a comment or question, you can write to us at mail@moviefilmshow.com, or you can call our comment line, our 24-hour comment line, at 818-581-2010. Follow us on Twitter at Movie Film Show. We're on Facebook.com/Movie Film Show. We're Movie Film Showed everywhere, Mr. Film.
All right.
So that's all we have for this show, Mr. Film. I'll see you next show.
I'll see you next show, Mr. Movie.
All right. Hello, I'm the beaver. You gave my movie a bad review. How could you not give it an A+, Mr. Film, Mr. Movie? It's a conspiracy.
Jesus. Oh, my God.
Aye. We're all miserable in some way, and our best bet is to find a depression buddy.
I had the exact same thought as well. I think it might play a little bit better on a smaller screen and maybe with a drink in your hand.
A drink in your hand and a noose around your neck.
I mean, it is twisted. It is dark.